Holy Spirit and you. Now that I've woken you all up and gotten you all excited, now, the Holy Spirit and you, turn to me to Acts 2. Acts 2. We're going to read the first 21 verses together. And I'll try to read them fast. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues that the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each one of us hears in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Alex and Asia, and whatever those names are, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even all my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, today we celebrate Pentecost. And Pentecost or Shabbat has many names in the Bible. It's the Feast of Weeks. It's the Feast of Harvest. It's a time where the latter first fruits is celebrated on the 50th day after Passover. So this is the 50th day after Passover that we're celebrating the day of Pentecost. And it's traditionally a joyous time of giving thanks and presenting offerings to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a new grain of summer. It's the wheat harvest in Israel. It's there. It's the name of the Feast of Weeks was given because God commanded it back in Leviticus 23:15-16, which says it counts 7 full weeks or 49 days beginning on the second day of Passover. Then present the offerings of new grain to the Lord as a feasting ordinance. We're coming to present today to God the Feast of Pentecost. Shabbat was originally a festival for expressing thankfulness to the Lord for the blessing of the harvest. And because it occurred at the conclusion of Passover, it acquired the name Latter First Fruits. The celebration is also tied to the giving of the Ten Commandments and thus bears the name Matin Torah. Now, I'm not that smart. I did read this someplace else. Or giving of the law. And Jews believe it's exactly the time that God gave the Torah to the people through Moses on Mount Sinai. It has also been said that this is the day that the apostles presented the first fruits of the Christian church to God. The first fruits of the Christian church to God. And it's an important milestone, not only to the church, but to each and every believer here today. When it talks about presenting the first fruits, it talks about presenting the best of the best. The best of the best. God is asking us the question today, are we presenting the best of the best to Him? Are we presenting the best of the best to Him? And is the best that we present is ourselves? Do we just give a certain portion to Him, or do we give it all to Him? The best of the best. Looking back at that scripture, I want to examine 4 areas of that scripture that we just read. 4 areas that I believe that are really something that God wants to really get into our hearts. One is called the blowing of the wind. Blowing of the wind. The tongues of fire. The pouring out of His Spirit. And that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those four areas, the blowing of the wind, the tongues of fire, the pouring out of the Spirit, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, the blowing of the violent wind, just imagine here today if we open up the windows and the winds start coming forth and come through and everything else like that. The wind can be destructive or it can be healing. It can be bring the clouds or it can blow them away. In our life, there are winds of doctrine that can be healing or they can be destructive. You know, not all doctrine is bad. But we need to examine whether or not it is the right doctrine. You know, Mark 4:41 says, the apostles were out on the boat fishing. And they were terrified when the storm came. They were terrified and they were worried about the storms and the waves were coming and everything else like that. But Mark 4:41 says, they were terrified and asked each other, after Jesus had calmed the seas and stilled the wind, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey Him. The apostles, I think, when they're in this upper room, in this room here, when the winds were coming, they had to remember that Jesus Christ Himself calmed the wind. That the wind that was coming was going to be controlled by Jesus Himself. This wind was not going to be a destructive wind, but it was a wind that was being there put into place to help them. To help them to understand it. That the Lord was the master of the wind. And the apostles needed to have that faith that the wind was being controlled by the Lord Himself. We need to trust when the Lord is... We need to trust when the wind is blowing in our lives that the Lord is working to get rid of the clouds out of our life. There are sometimes winds that we're being buffeted back and forth by the winds. But God might be calling us to get the clouds of darkness, the clouds of doubt, the clouds of things in our life to move out of our life. Amen. And we need to be buffeted and understand that God is in control of that wind as long as we're submitting to Him. There was a song many years ago sung by a Christian rock group. And it was basically out of a church here in this area called, the rock group was called Sons of Thunder. You guys who are so young don't remember that, but they came out of a Fourth Presbyterian church. And basically they were a worship team. And one of the sons was the son of the pastor there named Richard Halverson. But they used to sing a song, and it was also a song sung by a person in the 60s. I forget his name, I think his name was Nash. But he says, I can see clearly now. You know, it was appropriate for me at that particular time because there were many clouds in my life. There were many doubts in my life. There were many things going on in my life that I needed the Lord to sort of have that wind to blow them away. To have them win so I could then see clearly who Jesus really was. How many times in your life is there a fog in your life? And if you were up early this morning, like we were at the crack of dawn, and I'm going down Watkins Mill Road. Is that the right? Brink Road. Heading towards 27. And I'm right there by sort of where the graveyard is at All Souls gravesite. I couldn't see the light up on the hill. It was that foggy. And it wasn't until the wind came and the sun came out to blow that fog away that I eventually would see the light. The same thing would happen in my life. I was a lot of fog going on in my life. I needed God. I needed God's Spirit, His wind of the Spirit, to blow away those clouds so that I could see Him clearly, to understand what Jesus Christ was. I grew up in a religious family. I grew up in a Catholic family. I understood who God was, but there were a lot of doubts in my life that I needed the Holy Spirit to blow away sort of the winds of doctrine that it was being there and to be able to see Jesus clearly, that I could see clearly now, that I didn't have to have the fog out there. Maybe you need that wind of the Spirit right now in your life. Maybe there's some things going on in your life that right now there's some fog going out. That you need the wind right now, the Holy Spirit, to blow away those shades of doubt, the shades of darkness, the shades of things that are going on in your life, so that you can see clearly now what God wants to have you do. So we're talking about the blowing of the violent wind. The next thing we're talking about is the tongues of fire. This is a great illustration. I love this illustration, the tongues of fire. God refining His disciples and us by His refiner's fire. The purity of the fire. Sue knows that I love fires. I love having a fire in my fireplace. We've got a fire pit out in our patio that we've done once. The only thing about a fire, having a fire pit, you got to make sure the wind is blowing the right direction. Or you get smoke in your eyes. But in 1 Peter 1:7 it says, they have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, where perishes even though refined by fire, you may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The Lord uses this fire to refine us, to burn away the garbage in our life. The garbage in our life. He's burning that away to purify us, to refine us. He wants to burn away the garbage in your life today. The Spirit is a refiner in our life. Look again at that verse in 1 Peter. Says, Peter reflects that your faith is greater than the gold that you might have. God is wanting to build up our faith, to understand and to trust Him, that is greater than whatever gold you might have. That we cannot depend on gold. We've seen the economy go back and forth, up and down, fluctuate back and forth. Gas prices going up and down. But the one constant we have is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Spirit of God living within us. We have that tongues of fire that are refining us, purifying us, getting rid of the garbage out of our life, that all we can then is be present before Him the gold that is us, the treasure that is us, that we can be able to give to God. Look at a few other verses here. Psalm 66:10 says, for you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. How many times do you feel like God's testing you right now? You ever feel you're being tested right now? He's refining you like silver. He says, Proverbs 17:3 says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. The Lord tests the heart. It says, in Proverbs also says, as a man thinketh, so in his heart he is. What type of thoughts do you have right now? Is God refining those thoughts that all you have are thoughts of goodness, of good, of what God wants you to have, not of what the world wants to have? Because as we think about those thoughts, we have those thoughts of God in our head, our heart will then espouse out or just pour forth the love of God to somebody else. He's refining us. Isaiah 49:10 says, see, I refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnaces of affliction. Furnaces of affliction. It was interesting about when Sean got up about fishing. I am not going fishing. But I can tell you that I had to struggle for 6 hours fishing one time. This is when my son was getting married. The oldest son was getting married. He had sort of a double bachelor party. The first morning was at the fathers and the uncles. And it's November. And we're out on the bay looking for rockfish with 10-foot swells. And let me put it this way. Lunch was the furthest thing from my mind. Because lunch was all over the place. And I was telling my son, I said, I'll pay for the boat to get back in. But as the waves are going up and down, the furnaces of affliction, I felt that. But I also know that there was a bond that my son and I had. And it's a memory that we will always have together. I'm not sure it's a good memory, but it's a memory that we'll have. We did catch some fish at the beginning and at the end. But those 5 hours in between... Let's hope they're not going to be that 10-foot swell going through. But the Lord wants to refine us in many different ways. He wants to refine us in many different ways in order that we might be presented to Him holy as a living sacrifice. God wants the best to be presented to Him. God wants to have this thing refined so it's the best. We remember in Scripture it talks about the best lamb was presented before for the sacrifice. The best lamb, the best specimen, everything about it was best. The best fruit, first fruits were presented to God. So why should we present anything else but the best of the best to God Himself? And we get that ability because of His Holy Spirit who refines each one of us and burns out the garbage in our life. Next thing is, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. It says that the Lord will pour out His Spirit on the last days. How many today believe we're in the last days? One, two, three, four. Okay, we need to remember today that to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. Joel said, I will pour out my Spirit in the last days. We don't know when that time's going to be, but we need to be ready. We need to have an urgency to know that we are in the last day, for nobody knows the day or the time. Only the Father knows. There needs to be an urgency about us to be able to bring forth the Word, to knowing that God is pouring forth His Spirit on a daily basis. We need to understand that. And as I looked at this verse, and it's brought up twice in verses 17 and 18, the Spirit is not reserved for a selected few, or not just for that day. It says, I really emphasize this, continue pouring. It says, I will pour. English is not my strong suit, but I'm sort of taking a license to this, where it says, I will pour out, because I believe there's a continued pouring going on right now with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a present day tense, it's a future tense. It's something that is continually pouring out. It is continually going on. The Spirit is continually being poured out. It wasn't just for the first century. It is continually being done for our children and for those children beyond that. It is going on. It is being poured out. So why are we afraid to have the Spirit poured out on us? And I speak not just to church here, but I say to the total church. Why are we afraid to have the Spirit poured out on us? Why do we put umbrellas up to have the Spirit, as the rain comes down, we want the rain to go off of us? That's a tough question. Are we afraid of the power of the Spirit might place in our hands to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to build our faith, to see lives change, to see church in unity? Are we afraid of all of that? I would hope not. I mean, I want to see the church be a healing church. I want to see people come walking into this place to be able to be healed today. I want to see the power of God resonate in people's lives. I want to see hearts changed. You know what? I am tired of our building being a Swiss cheese church right now. There's lots of holes in this congregation. I want to see this place being packed. I want to see it being packed daily, on a daily basis, that where people are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see lives changed. We worry about laws being changed. Let's see hearts be changed. And when hearts are changed, laws will get changed. Let's see the Lord's God. But it amazes me that in Acts 2, as we just read, one, there were no denominations. There were no denominations. There were no denominations. It amazes me about that. Just the church of Jesus Christ, which was turning the world upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. But what happened to that power? Let's ask ourselves that question. What happened to that power? Why isn't the church responding that way today? I think sometimes it's greed. It's jealousy. It's the enemy attacking the leaders of this church, of the church today. However, I believe God wants to begin today to renew the church. He wants to renew the church through the wind of the Spirit, blowing away the doctrines that are not His. Only being focused on the truth of God. Refine His church with His fire. And burn away the garbage that is being preached in churches today. That only the truth of God that is foremost and powerful, that will not return void, is the one truth being preached. Whereby people repent and cry out. Like David in Psalm 51, it says, create in me a clean heart. The church today needs to call out and call out today to have the Spirit of God being released to them and to say, create in me a clean heart. Get rid of the garbage out of my life. Let the Holy Spirit come in and restore me and resurrect me today. Let the life of God be empowered in me. Create in me a clean heart, that refiner's fire being burned today. You know, I know it's going to hurt. It hurts when you have things happen. But God says, I want to be pure in you. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. How many of you today are joyous about your salvation? Are you excited about God lives in you? Are you excited about the grace of God being in you? Amen. There's a joy in our salvation. We need to have joy about this. There's something that the Holy Spirit wants to impart in us. And God wants to pour out His Spirit to the windswept, refined church so the gospel can be preached with power. With power. The power to heal. The power to save. The power to see things change. The power of lives to be mended today. God wants to see that happen today. And the last thing here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We call ourselves Northgate Community Church, the Church of All Nations, the Fellowship of Living Grace. And I believe that's a godly call in our community. I really believe that. I also believe the Lord is asking each and every one of us to examine ourselves and ask the question, do we truly embrace this call? Do we truly embrace this call? You know, each one of the disciples clearly identified with Jesus after having spent 3 years with Him. And the Lord, some time ago, placed on my heart, a few Sundays ago, that of these disciples, one betrayed Him, one had doubts, and one denied Him verbally. However, I believe all denied Him in their heart. They lost hope. Sometimes we lose hope in our life. We lose hope in our life because of situations that have happened. The fellowship of living grace. We don't really understand the grace of God sometimes that happens in our lives. We lose that hope. Hey, we're human. That happens. But one thing about this, with the church here at Northgate, and I also believe the church what God's calling, we're a community church. That fellowship of living grace. Fellowship. You know what that means? Fellowship? It means helping one another. So I was praying this morning. It says, you know, it's like a toe. You ever had your stub your toe? And what happens when you stub your toe? Your whole body hurts, doesn't it? Your whole body is affected. It's like sometimes when part of the body stubs its toe, the whole body is affected. But that's where the Fellowship of Living Grace comes to try to heal that toe and to help and support them. However, what's interesting about me, what about the disciples here, that even though one denied them, one had doubts, and we know the one which betrayed was replaced, that God used these same disciples, to have His Spirit poured out on them. To have His Spirit poured out on them so they could preach the gospel, not only to them, by them, but to others like Paul. And they were sent to many parts of the world, not just their comfort zone, to preach the gospel. Is God ready to take you out of your comfort zone of preaching the gospel? He says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all nations. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. They couldn't do this without the Holy Spirit. They couldn't do this without the Holy Spirit. But look at that. We're a small congregation in numbers. But we're the right number for God to use. Amen. We're the right number for God to use. We're about the same as was in the room. But the same amount of people that was in that room. When the Spirit descended upon Him and the world was changed forever. The apostles, all they did, the disciples, was to wait. To wait for the Holy Spirit that was promised to them. And then they acted on what God had imparted to them. And to be able to preach the Word. I believe God has placed many nations under our roof for one purpose. But it's time for us to put the umbrellas down so the Spirit can be poured out to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Not only by embracing different nations, but embracing our enemies. It says that everyone who calls on the name will be saved. That means enemies themselves. For those enemies who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that will be saved will no longer be our enemies. But God calls us to preach to the enemies. The apostles were sent to the countries that were persecuting them so that the gospel might be preached. For they are God's creation. For it says, everyone. Share a little story. Sometimes in my business, whatever, I don't really go around and tout that I'm a pastor. It just comes up every now and then. And I was playing golf with a guy recently. And it's a guy that we've talked to a little bit who struggled and his wife had left him some years ago. And Sue and I were able just to minister to him. And he said, "Yes, Rick, are you still preaching?" I said, "Yeah, I'm preaching in a couple of weeks." He starts sharing with me how he's going to his church, and how his daughters are going to this church, and they really love the church. You know, see, that's amazing to me what God can do, how God can use you no matter where you're at. And I know that this guy, when he goes and struggles, he'll call me. We have a business relationship, but we also know that there's a spiritual relationship that comes. He knows where I'm coming from. He knows where we are at. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, as Paul talks about in Romans. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who calls, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So in conclusion, as I mentioned before, we're a lot like the church in Acts 2. I always felt like forgive me for this, but I'm going to say it. She knows what I'm going to say as I go far. That we're like a granola church. You know what a granola church is? We're made of a bunch of fruits, nuts, and flakes. But the Holy Spirit is that milk. What did he say? We know that. But the Holy Spirit is that milk that joins us all together. Jesus Christ is the sugar that sweetens the pot. Amen. That makes it that type of wonderful time that we can just partake of. But we need to know today, you know, we're talking about Acts 2, we're talking about this church. We know that God has used Acts 2. He used the disciples to, one, as it says, 2,000 came to the Lord Jesus Christ in that morning. A couple days later, another 3,000 came. My numbers might be off a little bit, but a lot of people came to know the Lord. But they knew it wasn't because of them. Because it called, and Scripture says, they were unschooled, ordinary men. But it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that was being done. The Holy Spirit in you. Are you willing to be used by the Holy Spirit wherever God might place you? Are you willing to be there as God has the wind of His Spirit go through your life right now and blow out those areas of your life? Are you willing to be refined by the tongues of fire? Are you willing to have the Holy Spirit poured out on you to go and take the umbrella down and have the rain just fall upon you and let the Lord God just anoint you and have the oil of joy and the oil of gladness, the Holy Spirit, just pour forth over you and let it just flow out from you? Are you willing then to be able to preach the gospel to knowing that everyone, no matter who that person might be, even though you might not like that person, but knowing that God's calling that person to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that everyone can be saved? And until we get that in our hearts and really understand what God's saying in our hearts, I firmly believe that God's going to change the world when we get that in our hearts. To really understand that, as we talk about the painting up here, the nations going together by His Holy Spirit. It's not by our might. It's not by my power. But it's only by His Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray. Father, with all the Lord God, we thank You today, Lord God, that Your Holy Spirit gives us just the ability, Father, to be ourselves in You. Father, You know exactly who we are. You know exactly, Father, what You've called us to be. And Father, You know there's a calling on our life. But Father, Lord God, we only want to be called when Your Spirit takes hold of us today, Lord God. Allow Your Spirit to move through us and to pour out Your Spirit on each one of us, Lord God. Father, we relinquish ourselves to You. Father, we just pray a releasing of Your Spirit, Father, over each person today. In the name of Jesus, amen.